Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome into another hour of Woods and Water SouthCon. In case anybody is wondering, the water off Sullivan's Island is
perfect. It was nice.
Actually got out. We went to Charleston for a wedding.
And this is something totally not like us, because we always swear against going to the lake or the beach on 4th of July, but here we were.
Well, the wedding was on Sunday. So actually we had our first sleepover with my grandson Friday night. Things went just fine. When my daughter-in-law left, I looked at my wife and says,
"Your daughter-in-law? Your daughter?"
My daughter left. I'm sorry. I'm dropping Lee off. I said, I looked at my daughter and my wife, and I said, "Okay."
We're stuck
no turning
with him.
Back now. his first sleepover went great.
I don't know. I woke up. My room was right. There was one door separating my room and his room. And when he woke up at like 2:30, I thought it was the devil, because he was screeching.
Well,
and I was like, what
that's what
in
happens
the
when
world?
Babies wake up. They wake up startled. And,
yeah.
But he went back to sleep.
And then I woke up again.
I put him back to sleep the second time. You just go in and kind of shake him a little bit. You're not shake him. My wife told me not to say that. Don't shake him. You put your hand on his butt and you just kind of vibrate him. Yeah. It was like a massage or something.
Massage.
He went back to sleep fairly quickly, and he got up the next morning happy. We went out on the back porch and it was nice and cool and all. Of course, that wasn't this past week where it was nice and hot.
Gosh.
And Charleston is still as steamy. And
It felt like when you walked out of the door, it felt like you were steaming. Like you could probably see steam coming off my head.
Camera lens fogged up from the inside out.
Yeah, my sunglasses
were fogged.
Had
to wait for a few minutes before I could take pictures. But mostly kept Lee during the weekend. I did great on drive down, which was nice. Had a fun time when we were down there. Actually got to the beach on Monday to see Salute from the Shore, Taylor.
Yeah.
2015 was the first year those guys were on this air with me.
And you hadn't.
Talking about Salute from the Shore, and I met together every year, and I made it this year. Or we made it this year.
We did. And it was all great and beautiful and relaxing, and I'm laying over there and just trying to enjoy it. And all of a sudden I hear, I want to go home. I'm hungry. It's hot.
How much longer are we going to stay?
Yeah. I was like, well, do you want to see the pretty airplanes, Dad?
I did. I toughed it out for almost 3 hours.
Yes.
To see a C-17 and two F-16s come
honestly,
down.
Honestly, I have to say, it was cool, but I wanted a sneak pass from the two F-16s.
Yeah. It was kind of different. In past, they have gone into Charleston Harbor. And
like
done some turns, yeah, in Charleston Harbor. And I don't know, not having been there, I don't know if they, the Civil Air Patrol plane came through an hour before. So about noon, the Civil Air Patrol Cessna came down the coast, went into Charleston Harbor, came back out, and went on down the coast. They were just running the route. And I expected them to come down the Isle of Palms, kind of bank right over the tip of Sullivan's Island, go in between Sullivan's and Fort Sumter. And it looked like from pictures they did their turn kind of right above the Isle of Palms Marina. No, Patriots Point.
Oh, yeah.
And Charles then Harbor. Inside the bridge, across the battery, and then back out by on the other side of Fort Sumter. But when they came through, they came down Isle of Palms and banked left like they were headed straight through. And we watched them disappear. And then, Taylor, you heard.
I heard something, and I was like, am I missing? Like, it sounded like
jet
fighters.
Yeah, definite fighter jet engines.
And then I looked up, and all I could see was the...
It was a pair of F-16s were kind of coming out of Charleston Harbor.
And then the C-17 came back.
But the F-16s were, they headed like...
Straight out.
Over James Island.
Yeah.
They went kind of, came out and went way right. Almost like they were headed to the south end of Folly Beach.
It was
and then
weird.
And then you looked up and the C-17 was coming like dead overhead.
He
went in and made his turn over the bridge and then came back out on the other side of Fort Sumter and then turned and went on down towards Buford.
But we were going based off schedule that we had saw, and it was like 1:30 before we saw. Mistook a lot of birds.
Yeah, because they were supposed to come through about 1:15.
Yeah.
F-16s, and then the C-17 was like 130-something.
But it said they came through as two F-16 escort with...
Oh, C-17. And I understand that was because the weather was so bad up over Myrtle Beach. Thunderstorms were already over Myrtle Beach. Okay. You could see
from... Did you see videos from Myrtle Beach?
No, I didn't.
Like, the whole front, I think it was like ocean front.
Yeah.
The main drag in North Myrtle Beach?
Underwater.
Absolutely underwater.
Well, they came
golf
across...
Golf carts were underwater.
Yeah. Well, we left the beach about 2 o'clock.
And we saw it.
And you could... It had backed up all the way just to 26, and Mozo Deli in Mount Pleasant was closed, which was a real blow. if you want a really good... Oh, gosh, they have the best deli sandwich. Mozo Deli in Mount Pleasant.
But no, don't go knock in East Bay.
No, so we ended up going to East Bay out on University at Goose Charleston Creek. Southern. And we got there just as the bottom dropped out, and we sat in East Bay and watched some...
Insane, watched some vivid lightning.
Yes, it was. But that's the coast of South Carolina in the winter, in the summertime.
We got some good sun, though.
Yeah. So. Just totally flipping from the coast up to the mountains, or maybe there are bears at the coast. This National Park Service posted this last year. If a bear clacks his teeth, sticks out its lip, huffs, woofs, or slaps the ground with his paws, it is warning you that you're too close and are making nervous. The bear is nervous. Heed this warning and slowly back away. What else should you do or not do if you come across a bear? And this is written in Yellowstone. Do not immediately drop to the ground and play dead. Bears can sense overreacting. Do not run, shout, or make sudden movements. I love this one. Do not run up and push the bear, and do not push a slower friend down, even if you feel the friendship has run its course. Running may trigger a chase response in the bear, and you can't outrun a bear. But I love that one.
Does it say anything about how to
do it? Do not push a slower friend down, even if you feel the friendship has run its course.
Does not say anything about being in a hammock and being a bear burrito?
Oh, a bear burrito, no.
How to do that?
Just, yeah, I feel that way when I'm in my hammock at night camping. But yes, so anyway, there's your funny for this week. That was actually on the National Park Service Facebook page.
We have a pretty intense article that nobody really wants to see, but something that we stress a lot here on the show. And I don't know, do you want to get into this now? Or save it, because we have two special guests coming on with us.
Oh, we do. That's right. Go ahead.
Allison Rock is coming on to talk about last year. Goodness,
we can't believe it's been a year already.
Whitewater rafting up at the Tatooga River.
Yep.
And we are going to recap it and kind of talk about, since it is getting time for that to happen again, and even into the fall, like we talked about. But we're going to talk about kind of recapping some of our favorite moments. Some of the things we wish we would have done and wish we didn't have done, or we didn't do. And then, who's our other guest?
Matt Schell with Green Pine Landing Event Center is going to come on and give us like an annual update on some of the improvements out there.
And if you're a real heartful person, you will get excited for this.
Yeah, there's a lot that has been done out there in the past year. He did say that they kind of slowed down on the development. They're doing a lot of planning right now. And don't do that.
Ow.
Poor dog. and so we're going to get an update on Green Pine Landing and Event Center, which actually is going to be one of our calendar events when we get to it in the fourth segment. So, yeah, we'll just say what you've got, because that is something that needs to take some time to talk about, because you see it all over. And then we do have a short calendar. We'll get to that in the fourth segment, too, and who knows what else. But anyway, y'all hang on. We got more Woods and Water South on the other side of this break. Just enjoy some music for a few seconds, and we'll be back. Oh, I like this song. Takes me back to, I don't know, I can't remember what year this album came out.
Don't look at me.
They're all good, so it doesn't matter. It was a good year, whatever it was. I think it was close to when I graduated high school. I think it would have been. Maybe that's why I like it so much. Anyway, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Joined by a good friend of ours, Matt Schell from Anderson County. It's Parks and Rec, right? And right, Matt?
Yeah, Parks Department.
Parks Department. There we go. And we asked him to come back on because there's, gosh, we talked about this. It's been almost a year since we did a Green Pond Landing update on some of the stuff that's happened down there. But I know you got some big news, Taylor. The question, please.
The question, please. So talk a little bit about the economic milestone y'all had with Green Pond Landing and Event Center this past Classic.
I'm happy to. So since 2015, when we opened with the first Bassmaster Classic and the first tournament at Green Pond, when we closed this Bassmaster Classic in 2020, we had a milestone of $100 million of economic impact to South Carolina.
Wow.
With fishing tournaments. Mostly.
Yes. It's been a fishing first facility, as y'all know, and that just speaks mountains to the tourism, the attraction, the draw to Lake Hartwell Fishery in Anderson, South Carolina.
Absolutely. It's a great place to go fishing, and obviously Bass knows that because they keep coming back again and again and again. And bringing a lot of other stuff, too, because it's not just bass. It's high school fishing. It's college fishing. It's down the ladder on the MLF side, down the ladder at the Bassmaster Open side. It's a great place to come fish. But Green Pond is kind of the attraction, is kind of the ramp everybody wants to use and all. So since it's been about a year, take us back maybe to last summer. And I know we had a big high school championship at Hartwell last summer. Take us back there and bring us forward to where we are sitting today with Green Pond Landing.
Okay, so back in July when we had the TBF World Finals, we had 400 boats that came in, and they came into a partially completed amphitheater, which seats about 3,000 people facing west, so facing the setting sun. We, because of construction delays and things, we weren't able to have the 340 linear feet of weigh-in dock or T-dock. But since that tournament came and went, we have completed the $2.2 million Green Pond Phase 3, as we call it, which is a 340 linear foot T-dock, which is the weigh-in dock, and then the 3,000 amphitheater. We have, since that point also, we've actually closed an additional piece of property to create a Green Pond Landing office space for us to manage events and tournaments out of.
Wow.
Which has been a huge accomplishment for us and really a testament to what that facility is bringing in.
Yeah, I guess not having a place to meet when you're out there, you're either outside or maybe hanging out under the trees or an umbrella.
Yeah, the bath, the restroom, the two-story restroom really served a dual purpose. when it was raining, we're still down to pop-up tents or just getting baked in the sun. So yeah. It gives us a conference room space up there. It's an old fellowship hall, so it was really designed perfectly for a reuse of us. Top of the hill, it's an amazing view from that top.
I can imagine. I can't remember this, forgive me for asking, is the electricity in the parking lot now?
Yes.
The upper parking lot?
Yes, the upper parking lot has 16 battery charging stations. We're able to host a couple different tournaments that have come in the past that have used that overnight power station or have that overnight power requirement. So we have quad boxes and all the 16 stand-up RV spaces. We have 30 amp and 50 amp for different trailer uses and service yards when they're on the top of the hill.
Right.
So the power improvement up top was huge. And we have plans for additional power projects in the future and additional lighting down by the amphitheater and weigh-in dock as well.
And then I think I heard you say at one point that y'all had taken out some curbing and expanded the turn radiuses of the upper parking lots and the road coming in.
Yes, we did. That was a major overhaul. We actually widened five radius points throughout the park. So we can actually navigate a semi trailer into around the perimeter road all the way up to the very top of the truck trailer lot and then back out again. So that just when Green Pond was originally designed, little more than 10 years ago, it was designed really with the bass boat dimension. So the more popular and attractive green punt has gotten fence, we've gotten into triple axles, you know, some of the cigarette boats that are coming in. The Go Fast really been a big
– The Go Fast boats.
And I love the name when they refer to it. It kind of made me giggle the first couple of times because it's so simple, but it actually – It's go hyphen fast, and it just has it all. So it's like the go. We had a Deals on Wheels put on a charity run early June, and they had one of their best years for donations generated for to help the local Anderson community. But the boats that were on the water at Green Pond, they took up all of the dock space out there. They were tickled to be in such a high class facility, and really draw attention to the center of the lake. They're, you know, very easily reached by whether by water or by roadway.
Those were some big boats.
They were some, and they were some big boats. They didn't buckle or didn't scrub on the ramp. We're going from the grade break, you know, to the top of ramp. We're at 14%.
Right.
They navigated beautifully, but there were some long trailers coming through Green Pond.
I was amazed. I mean, there was a picture. I remember seeing a picture posted from probably somewhere. Well, it was up on the road looking down at the amphitheater, and really all I looked at first was, oh wow, there's the amphitheater, oh, the lake behind it, you know, the break in the trees, this really, there's the T dock and all that. And I went back and looked, and there's a cigarette boat parked sideways on either side, and I'm like, how in the world did I miss those two things?
Right,
because those had to have been 40-foot boats.
They were some long ones.
Jeez. So now we're multi-rolling with Green Pond. We got
multi-rolling
cigarette boats, bass boats, pontoon, but the Aluminum Navy is loving it.
Oh, I bet. Aluminum Navy.
A lot of stuff happening, and the house is going to be really cool if you all to have a place to go out there and have an office space or have a meeting space.
Sure.
I know the electricity is important to the bass guys, and even. I guess when bass comes and they bring their own generators and all that and have their own power sources, but I imagine some of the smaller places are loving having all that electricity up top.
Yeah, and for some tournaments, we've actually had to bring in and rent about $5,000 to $7,000 of auxiliary power to run some of the events on place. So bringing everything hardline will eliminate all that extra noise around there, and that's been a game changer for us at Green Pond as well.
Absolutely. Well, let's let's talk about, we got about 3 minutes or so. Give us, you don't have to give us the time frame, but just what are some of the things that are coming, and then there's an event I want to talk about that's coming out there in July.
Okay, so the biggest near term project that we're working on now, it's in design development, is the addition of the three additional east launch lanes at Green Pond, and well, with that comes the bookend dock, another L dock that goes out there alongside of it, just to really wrap up that the whole launch and dock project, as well as 80 additional feet of T dock head to go out there. So it'll bring us to 120 foot by 12 foot T dock out at the wake area, and then our six launch lanes, and then we're close to 1,400 linear feet of dock space.
But wait a minute, that's going to require some dynamite out there.
It will, and actually it's the water dynamite, so there's a whole extra permit process in there with the core, because there's nothing raining underneath that gravel pad, which many of you all remember. It's just covering up blue granite vein that runs down into the lake. So there'll be some underwater shots for sure this time around.
Ooh, that would be fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The other thing we're doing, too, is we're working on a host site at the top of the hill, a temporary host site, which will just put somebody there 24 hours a day just to have someone on site for a presence. And that host site is going to kind of hold that piece of land until down the road we do see the expo space coming in, you know, ballpark about 15,000 square foot, top of the hill,
okay,
chimney, garage doors, and glass. So that's a little further out vision, but that's what we're working towards.
Well, it'd be pretty with glass on that side towards the lake.
Mm-hmm. Right.
something I had. Oh, man. Oh, when you put in three more lanes, where's the fire pit going to end up?
Listen, that's been a struggle for me because it's going to have to stay on that side because the way the wind goes. But I think we're going to have to split it, Roger, and put two fire pits on either side of the ramps. So I think it's going to split up double. So it's going to look a little medieval out there.
Twice the fun.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
Fire.
Oh, man, that's great. A lot of improvements coming out there. A lot of stuff has already happened, and that's a great facility. All right, got about a minute left. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but the amphitheater, originally pull through, weigh in for fishing tournaments and all that, but you got something that's going on the next, in July and then in August, and then I think there's another one out there in October. That it's being used for something that's kind of really neat.
Yeah, so coming in June, July, and in October – or July, August, and October, we've got a RPM Theaters is going to put on three showings of different water-based theater acts. And so we're really looking forward to that, just diversifying the crowd and the audience and the recreation opportunities for people in the area. So there's three different theater shows that are coming on. One's called the Star Spangled Spectacular. That one's the one coming up here in July. There's a Gilligan's Island show, which is going to be a classic riot. And then we've got the Tales of Ghost Island, which is based on an island that's now underwater from the flooding of Hartwell decades and decades ago. So it's something exciting to see, something different to do for people to come out and have another reason to come watch the sunset at Green Pond.
Oh, man. And we were talking about some of the plays. I mean, I think you had some auditions. They did some auditioning for a Star Spangled banner, which is going to be fun.
There's recruiting. There's opportunity for people to try to get their face out in the world too. So it's exciting along the way. They'll be practicing for all those weekend.
Yeah,
they'll be practicing the week, rehearsing. I guess it should say the week up to it. So there's something to do for those six to 8 weeks of showings. There's something to see out there if you come out in the evenings.
Matt, as always, it's fun to talk to you. Always something new at Green Pond. Thanks for taking a little bit of your time to be here. And folks, get out there and enjoy Green Pond Landing and hang on because we got more Woods and Water Cycling on the other side to break.
Thank y'all. Have a great day. Yep.
Well, and welcome back to another segment of Woods and Water South Carolina on this Saturday. Taylor, it's been hot. It's July. It's been hot.
It's been so hot, my eyes started twitching. Or is that just me?
I think that's a mental condition. What do you think, Allison?
Well, I just want to say that I think you missed a really big opportunity to open up this segment with banjo music.
Oh, no.
I really feel like there's a missed opportunity here.
Oh, no, you did.
Back to the heat. It has been very hot.
It has. It has. I think that I twitched a mental thing, though, Taylor. Anyway. Allison Rock is with us, our hiking contributor here on the show. We haven't done much on hiking this year, Allison. It's just been busy. Gosh, it's been so busy.
I've been busy too.
Yes.
I mean, I've actually gone to some of the national parks, but I haven't hiked nearly as much as I did a year ago.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Get out there when you can.
When the heat index is at like 105, I don't think I'd be complaining.
Well, it wasn't 105 in February and March, Taylor.
Well, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you and I were not hiking anyway.
That's true.
But no, last year, about this time, in conjunction with the South Carolina 7 trek across South Carolina, the three of us got to go whitewater rafting together. Now, I know Taylor, you've never been, right?
No, I was scared to death.
And I hadn't been. Allison, you had been before, though.
Yeah, but it had been many years, like high school time frame.
Okay.
So that was very neat to get back into the raft again.
So what we did was we met up at Wild Water Limited near the Chattooga River. And the Chattooga is a scenic waterway that has designated a scenic waterway. And we rode an old bus, which was kind of fun. Took me back a few years. We were issued a helmet, a paddle, and a life jacket. And had a little safety meeting right there on the trail going into the Tortuga. Jumped in our raft with Heather, our guide, who is actually the picture taker for Wild Water, or she, at least she has been. And couldn't get a hold of Heather, so I didn't want this to go any further, so we're going to do it today. And rafted the Tortuga River. It was a short, this was a 4-hour trip, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I think it's called the mini,
that's right.
On their website.
Yep, the mini. Yeah.
I'd love to go back and do like the whole like overnight thing.
That would be fun.
That'd be fun.
Or the longer one.
That would be cool.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah. We really lucked out too.
Oh, yeah.
The weather, I was looking back on it. It was in the mid-80s.
Beautiful.
That day. Yeah.
Sunny.
Scenery was awesome. The trees were nice and green.
Water temp was good.
Water was cold. Oh, man.
Wasn't it, Taylor? Water was cold, wasn't
it? Yeah, Dad.
Yeah, tell us more, Taylor. Tell us about how cold the water was. I heard you got splashed or dipped a few times.
I don't understand. I was just standing there trying to eat my daggum snack, and you came over there and threw me in the water.
Twice.
No, you threw me in, and then you dumped me under. Yeah. I'm just like a moving target with blonde hair.
Yeah, well, you bring it on yourself. Because if I hadn't have done it, I'm sure Tom or some of the other ones were angling to get it done.
I know, especially Tom. Tom definitely would have done that.
I mean, did you really go whitewater rafting if you don't get wet?
Yeah.
I mean, I would rather get wet without being dunked by my dad. Jeez. Well,
that was just a precursor to what was coming.
That's right. and you were right. We were talking beforehand. We had a very, and I mean, not to carry this too far, but a very intimate setting. I mean, it was four of us in the raft, the three of us and a guide. We talked a bunch, man. We laughed so much. I found out, let's see, Allison can't count.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. I mean, I was so eager to just paddle. For anybody that's never done this before, you kind of have to be in sync of people that are sitting on the left and the right of the raft. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we've never rafted before.
No.
So you kind of have to learn each other and like how fast or how hard somebody paddles.
Yep.
So, I was just eager. I'm like, let's go.
And Heather's, I mean, and that was one of the, besides Duncan Taylor and all the fun we had otherwise, the fun part was being involved in the actual rafting part. I mean, because she would call out, okay, three strokes on the right, or two strokes forward, or one stroke, and let's see what's happening. I mean, we were involved the whole trip, weren't we, Taylor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I felt it the next day.
Yeah. I was amazed how much we were involved, and I kind of figured you just got in a raft, sat there, and down the river you went. But no, we were a means of propulsion. We got through rocks and over some riffles.
We didn't even know what was coming.
We'll wait till that in the end. Okay. So
that's right.
So,
yeah.
So my favorite part was being involved. What was yours, Allison? What was your favorite part of the trip?
You know, I really enjoyed the snacks halfway. You remember that?
Yes.
We got out
of
some snacks.
Yep.
You know, snacks, just orange slices and cookies just seem a whole lot better after you've, like, had a workout.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed the snacks. And then being able to get in the current. You remember we walked up between those rocks and then we just
jumped back. Yep.
We jumped and we floated on down the river. That was really fun to just feel the force of that free-flowing Tortuga River. That was an incredible experience, too.
Taylor, fun?
I'm trying to think. I think my favorite part was the last part we're about to get to. I don't want to ruin it.
Well, go ahead.
I hate that my GoPro battery.
Oh, no.
I know. That was so bad.
I was so like, oh, I've got to record this.
Yeah.
And go figure, on the very last, the biggie.
It died. That's what happens. But
I mean, at least I didn't lose the GoPro.
Right.
Just the battery itself.
There are some worse things.
You know?
Yeah. But no, we were actually the last group to go through Bull Sluice because, like I said, Heather had to take all the pictures. And then we actually went with another guide who brought us down. Go ahead, Taylor. Talk about Bull Sluice.
Well, it looks pretty scary when you're standing on the rock looking over it.
Because they let you go preview it, and you can either opt in or opt out.
It's kind of freaky.
Allison, were you ever in doubt, or were you always in it?
Oh, I was always in it. Like, okay. I know that they give you the option. Like, you get out, you go and look at the rock, and you see it happening, and you're like, okay, yes or no. I was definitely all in. But I will say, watching the other boats do it, it kind of built up my, not anxiety, but just like, oh, yes, I am so ready to do this. And I think we had... You know, there were only four of us total right. in the boat versus maybe five or six in the others. So yeah. I think we actually came, when we came down the Bull Sluice and we went in the water and came back out,
we probably got
a little bit more height coming yeah. out because yeah. we didn't have enough weight in the boat. Mm. So, yeah, to go down, to feel the boat get full with water a little bit and then come out, yeah, that was very memorable.
Taylor?
That's kind of fun.
Take us through your experience of it.
I don't know.
Were you always in it, or were you kind of on?
No. I did not want to do it. I was like, you've got to be kidding. I'm not going down that thing in a little blow-up raft-looking thing. Like, I was like, there's no way. But, like,
so I don't
know.
So what happened?
Well, when it came down to it, I was like, well, I guess if I die here, I mean,
she dies
no,
here.
Ain't nobody going to miss me. I was like, God, all right. Taylor. So, I mean, I did it, and, like, going down, like, the anticipation that you build up before you get to the big rock with the drop-off, because you still have to paddle to it.
Right, you do. And, we did, yeah.
And so it was like, oh, gosh, I'm actually doing this. I'm actually doing this, and it hits you after you got off the drop-off.
Like, and we got caught. We kind of cut turned sideways down in the bottom.
Yeah, we did.
We one of the ends swung around and kind of got yeah. sideways a little bit. We took on a little extra water over the side.
I was like, okay.
But I think what there were like how many boats went through it? Eight or nine, and we were one of like three that stayed upright.
Yeah.
That nobody because everybody right. else a bunch of other people turned over and ended up going through Bull Sluice like on the life jacket side.
Yeah.
Well, and we kind of ping ponged a little bit yeah. between the rocks as yep. we were going down. I remember the feeling of us kind of rocking back and forth yep. a little bit, but props to us for staying upright.
Yeah, and then you were talking about getting to jump in and float when we did the snack thing. They gave you that opportunity at Bull Sluice too. You kind of went up
yes.
below the big drop, and you could jump off the rock. Now I don't think you did it, Taylor.
Me?
Yeah.
I was probably eating food.
You're probably eating food. but they gave you the opportunity to go jump off into the. I guess the tail race of Bull Sluice and come on down that way. And it was funny, though. You had to be careful because there are some rocks real close to the surface down below it. And I right. remember hitting one of those because they tell you how to float. You know, mm-hmm. you got to float high in the water and keep your legs up because you can't get your legs underneath those rocks. But, yeah, just a great time. And I wanted to get this in. Allison, I appreciate you taking time to go with us. And I want to get this in and let these other people know that, you know, they do it all through the summer, but she said some of the best trips are during the fall when the leaves are turning. So,
I can imagine,
you know, it was just a fun time. Mm-hmm. And we got about 15 seconds left, Allison. Anything you want to say in closing?
Just that it was a top-notch experience. I mean, between what the SC7 is doing and having Whitewater cater this event to us, it was just a perfect day weather-wise, experience-wise. I'd totally do it again.
Absolutely. Taylor, do it again?
Yep.
Yes?
Yep.
There you go, folks. We are amateur rafters. We have been down the Chattooga one time, through Bull Sluice one time, and we would all do it again. Allison, thanks for the phone call. The rest of you, hang on. We'll be back with more Woods and Water South Carolina on the other side of the break.
See ya.
Yep. Welcome back into Woods and Water, South Carolina. I hope you enjoyed that. You know, it's not much to go up there in Whitewater Raft with Wildwater Limited. Got a nice place to meet. The old house is really cool. Changing rooms for you. Just a neat place to be. And then Green Pond. That's going to be I don't know. There will be another place like Green Pond. I know they're planning on building a big ramp system down on Santee.
Yeah.
But, man, Green Pond, they've just got it going on.
Yeah, they do.
And while we're at it, let's just do the calendar right quick.
Okay.
While we're here, we'll just do the calendar.
Yeah, we didn't split this up, did we?
No, we didn't split this up. You want me to do it? Okay. Okay, give me this one. Okay. So you got two, so go ahead with your first one. There we go.
So if you're – oh, we didn't say who this was brought to you by.
Brought to you by Capital City.
Lake Murray Country.
Yes.
We're kind of slacking.
No, we're not.
I was.
You were. Okay. I wasn't.
If you're local, if you're in the Greer area, even, I mean, all the way to Spartanburg, if you have a kid that wants to come and fish with their community at any of their local lakes, like Lake Robinson – nice job, Dad.
Thank you.
Did you knock over a picture frame?
No, huh? Oh. It's just one trash can.
Anyway, Greer Police Department is inviting young people to join them for a morning of fishing at Lake Robinson. The kids must be accompanied by an adult, and anyone over 16 must have a valid fishing license. So, I've gone over that before. You can go to the DNR website.
Get download the Go Outdoors app.
You can download an app now, and that can be your fishing license. It does
but
not have to be in
paper.
You have
to buy it first.
Well,
it's listed there.
But you don't have to carry it
in
your wallet because I lose stuff. And
Yeah.
Let's just say that app's coming handy for me. Uh-huh. But you can contact Corporal Austin Chambers. You can get his information off of the Greer PD website for more information and how to sign up. And it is July 23rd, 8 a.m. to noon.
And actually, Allison told us that they are supporting it and might have some goodies out there for those kids.
Oh, we like goodies.
We like goodies. The South Carolina Department of Natural Resources public lottery hunts for deer season, the upcoming deer season, is now open. Open July the 1st. Those applications will stay open all the way through August 15th. And, this guy right here missed the alligator application this year.
Yeah, and I found out about that when we were where were we? I think we were on a boat. No,
I don't know.
I was like very close to. Yeah, we were on a boat, and I was close to pushing you in the water because you told me that you. Because I wanted to go.
So if you're interested in putting in for one of the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources lottery deer hunts, have at it on their website on the app. You can do either one. This was interesting. Average number of preference points for selection. This is not a guaranteed thing, but just average. Alligator, you have 3 to 4. If you want a deer multi-site, 1 to 2. Deer unrestricted, 0 to 1. The web gun hunts, 3 to 4. Web archery is 3 to 4. Quail at MACBE is 2 to 3. Turkey multi-sites, 2 to 3. Turkey multi-site for the youth hunters is 0 to 1. Waterfowl is 2 to 3, and waterfowl youth is 1 to 2. So that'll give you some idea. You may have to apply for a few years to get drawn, but that's not too terribly bad. The lottery, each hunter must have a wildlife management area permit, a big game permit, and in addition to a valid hunting license to attend the hunt. And it goes through the multi-site, unrestricted multi-site, web gun, web archery, and South Fenwick archery. Lotteries operate independently and maintain separate preference points. Antler restrictions apply to the multi-site lottery, but there are no antler restrictions for the properties included in the unrestricted multi-site lottery. A hunter younger than 16 years of age is not required to have a hunting license, but must be accompanied by a licensed adult 21 years or older who has been selected for the same hunt. All hunters must wear a coat, vest, or hat of solid, visible international orange color while the hunt is in progress. And then they have WMA rules, too, that apply. Let's see. Cancellations will not be refunded. Sorry. Shotguns, rimfire cartridges are not permitted at the multi-site deer hunt. Only centerfire rifles, 22 calibers and larger, and muzzleloaders, 36 caliber and larger, are allowed for Webb Wildlife Center gun hunts. And it goes on to get some more. But anyway, you got Bear Island, Belfast, Bonaferry, Botany Bay, Donnelly, Hamilton Ridge, Palachicola, Watery River, Webb Center, WMA Archery, the gun hunts, and then there's a brand new one this year, South Fenwick Island. It's archery-only deer hunt, but you have to have a boat.
Hmm.
So, now through August the 15th, go online and register.
Well, we talked a little bit about some of the improvements coming to Green Pond Landing.
Yes.
And we touched on this a little bit, but we didn't really go into the Lakeside Theater Live's details for their season.
Yep.
So, like we said, there's three events that are going to be there. And what are – so, they're, it's like plays?
Yeah, this is a local theater company in Anderson that's putting on these plays. And – you know, it's just utilizing event space that's already there.
So new, but I love it. So we're just going to go ahead and throw out some of these dates in case y'all are in the area and want to go check it out. There's a Star-Spangled Spectacular is going to be July 15th, 16th, and then 22nd and 23rd, all starting at 8 p.m. Tickets are $15 and then $12 for children. And then on August 19th, 20th, 21st, and then the 26th and 27th, they're going to have Gilligan's Island. That'd be a funny
one. That'd be a fun one to go do. Yep.
And each day there's different times. So Friday and Saturday starts at 7:30, and then, Saturday and Sunday that they're doing it is going to be at 3:00 p.m. and the same prices for tickets. And then a little bit down the road in October, the 28th, 29th, 30th, and then November 4th and 5th, they're going to be doing Ghost Island, the Tales of Ghost Island.
Which Matt says is about an island there that's under Lake Hartwell.
Yep. This is an original Lake Hartwell play written and directed by, he was the one that he was talking about.
DeGeronimo or whatever. Yeah.
So that's going to be Friday and Saturday at 7 p.m. And then the next Saturday and Sunday is going to be at 3 p.m. and same price for tickets.
And October on Hartwell ought to be beautiful.
Oh, goodness, yes. The nice breeze.
This story right here is out of Louisiana, but it caps something that Taylor and I see practically every time we go fishing.
And that's why,
this is going to be serious now. You need to pay attention.
We do stress so much about boater safety on the show because, like we said, we do see it a lot. We're not out there near as much as any regular guide is or anything like that, but we are out there enough to see this happening a lot.
And if we see it happening a lot, it's got to be happening all the time.
And we see it on our small little home lake up here.
Yes.
There's no telling what's happening on Murray and Hartwell and Santee and everything, but
Watery, Low Wiley.
On Monday, so July 4th, this article was released the next day, but a teenage girl was killed after falling off a pontoon boat into a river. And you may think, oh, well, okay. Well, she was bow riding. So, in other words, she was between
the pontoons,
sitting on the front. With her feet hanging off. They hit a wake from another boat. She fell, and when you fall off the front of a pontoon, you are funneled into underneath the boat between two pontoons. And what's at the other end? That's the motor. So she was caught up in the props, and she didn't walk away
from
that. And that's why we see it a lot. We've had to stop and tell people, like, because the driver of the boat, he's now sentenced to 30-something years in jail. There was alcohol involved, but it's like a snowball effect. When something happens like that, it's the driver's fault. And I mean, it's stuff that could be avoided so easily.
And it's not like people are doing it like, oh, watch us. One of the times we were up on Lake Bowen last year, it was looked like a grandmother. Mm-hmm. And some of her friends.
And her grandkids.
And her grandkids. And two of them were sitting up there bow riding. And they really weren't even going very fast.
No, it was not
much more than idle speed. And because they were going idle speed and they were so close to us, I said, can I give you some advice? And
you could get in trouble for this.
Not to get you in trouble.
Well.
You know, your grandkids, I mean, just look where they're sitting. And if they fall in, where are they going? It's different when you're bow riding on most any other boat. You get tossed out. You go over the side.
Yeah.
Not normally do you get sucked into the motor. But on a pontoon boat, if you're bow riding, you fall in, you're going to be channeled by the pontoons, and you've got nowhere to go except into the motor.
Well, you certainly not so much that you get in trouble, but if there is a lake warden out there, he will stop you.
Oh, yeah.
For that reason there. I mean, a lot of people don't think about it, and it's nothing like we're fussing at everybody that does it, because we don't, I mean, you don't really think about it, but when you see things like this, it really needs to kind of take
I
a
think,
hold of you.
I think a ticket for bow riding is about $600, if I'm not mistaken.
Is it?
It doesn't. That's Louisiana, so it doesn't say. But I think in South Carolina, I think it's about $600. So just safety. I know it's not something you think about when kids say, "I want to sit on the front of the boat and hang my feet." Oh, that sounds really fun. It'll be nice. We won't go very fast and all that. But
that was
just a wake from another boat.
Yep.
And there you go. Yep. We've had several drownings on the area lakes here over the 4th of July holiday the last week or so. So just be careful if you. You know, a lot of alcohol was involved. We did have a person lose. Oh, he killed him. Laceration from the prop.
Oh, he passed
away? The 60-year-old guy, yeah.
Did he get to the hospital?
No, he made it to the hospital, but he didn't survive the hospital. So, anyway,
just
be careful
out
there.
You can't always control what happens, but you can sure be careful.
And we can't let it end on a note like that. So, Low Country Shrimp Boil brought to you by Old Bay Classic Seafood Seasoning. This is really good. 13-minute prep time, 30-minute cook time, 7 ingredients, 8 large servings. Half a cup of Old Bay seasoning, 1 tablespoon of salt, 3 quarts of water, 1 can of beer optional, 8 medium red potatoes cut in quarters, 8 fresh corn, 8 ears fresh corn cut in half, 4 pounds of large shrimp in the shells. Bring it to a boil, add potatoes 13 minutes, corn 7 minutes, shrimp 4 minutes, drain and dump it on the center of a paper covered picnic table and have at it. Shrimp boil. Thanks for listening. As always, make time to get out there.
Take the back roads when you can.
Don't forget the camera. We'll be back with more Woods and Water next Saturday. Join us. Gone to Carolina.